Hello and welcome to the inaugural episode of the CSI Football Podcast, where we embark on a forensic delve into a particular season of football, usually with a tartan tint. I am your host, Ian Stephen, and joining me today as the first ever guest on the CSI Podcast is one of the nicest men in Scottish football, a former top flight top scorer, a victim of a Fergie hair blast or two, and a voice of football on the wireless. It's Stevie Cowan. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Good morning to you, Ian. You okay?
I am very well, thank you very much. Thank you for joining us today.
Pleasure.
Excellent. Now, let's fire in.
Yeah.
Let's fire in. We're going to be looking at the 85-86 season. Mm-hmm. And that was when you were with Hibernian.
Yeah.
But your career started a good while before then. Born 17 February 1963, is that correct?
Thanks for reminding me, yes. Many decades ago.
You look much, much older, don't you? Research indicates you were born in Paisley. Is that where you're from Paisley?
No, I've got to say, nothing against Paisley, but you're born in Paisley. I think they're just convenience of a hospital for my mum to give birth to me. But no, I'm a Bristol boy. Glasgow boy. I was brought up in Bristol and Glasgow, or Brigton, as they say, or as we say, and that's where I spent my formative years learning not just about football but other arts and crafts.
It sounds like a kind of daft question to ask, like, were you really from Paisley? But whenever you looked at the Panini sticker albums, basically everybody in Scotland was from Bells Hill. But that's because the maternity hospital was from Bells Hill, and like, so it's basically East Kilbride, Lanarkshire. So
that's right, yeah, man. But yeah, no, listen, that was a great learning experience, and ultimately, in a more serious note, that's what, you know, led me to sort of get into, you know, football, organised football from there. It was Celtic Boys Club. They were just down the road from me, London Road, as you'll know. And I went there one day. I'd heard that there was trials taking place, and I thought, I love playing football. That was my only thing I've ever done, you know. And I went along down to Barrowfield and played a trial, and was lucky enough to get signed for Celtic Boys Club. So I was off and running.
Was there anyone in that Celtic Boys Club that people might recognise, because there's a conveyor belt of talent that came from there?
The only one that springs to mind was Charlie Nicholas. I think Charlie was getting about at the same time, but it was great for me, obviously, being that neck of the woods, being a Celtic supporter as well, going on to Celtic Park. And, you know, most times you go to Barrowfield, there was always a Billy McNeil there, a Jimmy Johnson, Tommy Gemmell, whether a league or a Scottish Cup, and you were always seeing these people there. So I think that's what also gave me, the history of the game. You know, not just about playing football, I always loved the history of the game as well. And when you see all the stats and how good people done and what medals they won, that was a great upbringing for me.
But then it didn't work out in the sense of moving on to Celtic professionally.
Well, that was my dad's fault, because he moved to Scobride. It's a true. We like most Glasgow people, we moved out. You know, we went to Cumbernauld and other places. We went to Scobride, and we like most people then, we didn't have any money. It was pretty poor, and no cars and all this kind of stuff. So went to Scobride, so I couldn't get from Scobride back down to Glasgow. That was just never going to happen. So I remember going to school there, and the school had heard that I'd played for Celtic Boys Club, so they got me into the school team, which was a good start. And then I joined Claremont Boys Club. If you've heard of the East Kilbride, big club. So I managed to get him within pretty quickly, and that was me again off and running, because that led to things happening later on in my career, or later on before I went professional, with the contacts that I'd made through there that I was fortunate enough to get picked up.
So you were picked up by a professional club. Tell us how that happened.
It was St Mirren, and I was in the house one day, and there was a chap at the door, and it was my Uncle Billy, and he was pally by Alec Ferguson. And he says, look, do you fancy going training at Love Street? As it was known then, again, because I love football, I thought, yeah, I'll go and kick a ball and do that. So I went down, into Love Shoot My Uncle Billy. That's when I first came across Fergie. I was 13 then, and went down there for maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks. And then all of a sudden Fergie, in his inimitable style, pulls you aside one time and says, right, come in, we're going to sign you. Come up to your house, better be bloody there, your mum and dad, come to bloody sign you and we'll get it sorted. And I'm thinking, you know, that's before, I'm thinking, well, what can I get? What do I get signed on? What's my wages? And a couple of weeks later, because Fergie stayed in Scobride.
Yeah.
So he came up as well, came to the house, mum and dad petrified. Best china out, chocolate cake, everything, never seen that in my life. And they came in and I signed my first contract as an S-form with Sipman.
Was he nice to your parents?
Really nice. Wow. A totally different character because he wanted your name on the dotted line. So my mum and dad thought it was brilliant. And they says, that's good, so I'll look after you. And to be fair, he looked after me. But little did I know then what the legend would become. Was Alec Ferguson, and that was me on my way at 13.
One of the kind of sad sides of Scottish football now is that St Mirren maybe aren't bringing through the level of talent that they once were. They were an absolute hotbed of young players that were, especially like the late 70s into the early 80s, there was some great talent in that side.
There was great players, Peter Weir, Billy Stark, you know, to name Billy Thompson, the goalkeeper. Brilliant players, and I played with Big Starkey later in my career. And
three,
Peter Weir.
Three Franks.
Franks, McGarvey, McDougall, and
the most notorious.
McAvaney. I didn't play. I trained obviously when Frank McGarvey was there, and I played with Frank McDougall as well, funny enough, because Fergie kept going back to his old pond at St Mirren to get the good players. And what a striker Frank McDougall was. I mean, he was different class. I was in there, but there was also the Jackie Copelands, Lex Richardson, where you would learn not just about to play football, but you would learn how to protect yourself because, you know, Fergie used to throw the S-forms in with the first team and just play, and you had to learn, and nowadays they wouldn't be allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. But what an upbringing that was for me and guys like Dougie Bell and all that. You're thinking, we're in there and you get done and you would get elbowed, you get kicked, but that's how Fergie said, make you learn not just about how to play football, control the ball, pass, but how to protect yourself physically. Fantastic upbringing.
But you didn't play professionally for some time, is that right? No.
No.
So tell us about how you got your move and moving into starting in the professional ranks.
I'm sure Fergie won't mind this story either. Because I signed with St Mirren, as I said, this form, and he had left to go to Aberdeen. And it was Jim Clooney took over. People might remember him, played with St Mirren as well when he took over.
Can I butt in the way that Fergie left to go to Aberdeen was a bit controversial at St Mirren. Were you privy or were you part of the kind of rumour mill of surrounding the departure of Fergie?
No, we were just S-forms then at the time, so that's nothing to do with you. I remember turning up one day, there was a game on a Sunday, and this is true, we were playing Scotland under 16s against St Mirren S-forms. We beat them 7-3. I scored 4 in Love Street. And next couple of days of training, the manager brought me aside and says, I'm freeing you. And I thought to myself, I've just scored 4 goals against a Scotland team that I can't get in, and you're freeing me. That was Jim Clooney. So he said he was getting rid of me. Now, I don't know how, but Fergie had heard of this. And he phoned me. And it's one of those, you know, the blue. Come in, right. Your bloody come to Aberdeen, I'm going to bloody sign you, get yourself up here. I said, but boss, my S form, don't worry about your form. No, I took that literally as, where is the form? I don't know, but don't worry about your form. Why don't you come up play a trial game at Aberdeen? We're playing Bucky. No, who was it, Bucky? I think it was Bucky. Huntley, sorry, it was Huntley we were playing. Come up and we'll play a trial game and see how you bloody do, alright? Phone down. So I'm now having to make my way for East Kilbride. No money, no car, nothing. Get to Aberdeen.
How old?
16.
16, okay.
16. And go up there, meet Fergie and everybody else. Now then you're stepping into a totally different world and go and play Huntley in the Highland League for your future at 16. I mean, I just couldn't make it up.
You must have done well.
I had a shocker.
Really?
An absolute shocker. It's one of these games, and guys that have played football will tell you, so somebody pressed a button to speed things up.
Aye.
You know, the film goes quick.
Yeah.
And it's like a Benny Hill movie, you know, aye, everybody's moving about, aye, and the ball's flying about, and it's hitting my shoulder, hitting my nose, hitting my knee, hitting my ankle. And I remember it was Doogie Rudy was playing, Drew Jarvie, people like that. So it gets in the bus back down after the game, and I'm thinking, I have had a nuclear here, an absolute nuclear. Coming off the bus, who's standing there? Fergie, right, coming. Bloody going to sign you for a year. Get bloody down the road, get your stuff packed, and come up here and bloody report Monday, and you're playing, and you're training, your sign was. And that was it. And I thought, you must have seen something that nobody else in the world.
Do you think he was thinking, I think Cowan's good enough, I just want to test him to see if he'll come up? 16 years old, is he brave enough to come up and play a trial game? If he is, I'll sign him, doesn't matter what happens.
I think he got the answer in terms of bravery. I came up, and I think he got the answer in terms of, and that's always been the biggest thing in my career's attitude. So even things are going badly, as long as you're still putting in yourself, your body in there, you're looking for the ball, you're no hiding.
Right.
So even if he sees glimpses of that, he's thinking, cause as I got to know Fergie and obviously get to know his playing career, he was obviously a robust striker. And I thought, well, he made a decent career, like, got to play for Rangers, this, that, and the other. But I'll try and just take on board everything he's saying. And I went away down the road, came back up the Sunday with my battered suitcase, and the Monday morning reported to the legend that is Terry Scott. At Aberdeen, at 8:30 in the Monday morning, and away you go.
So here's a question: if you ask a musician, they'll never answer you. If you ask a musician, who do you sound like? What kind of style are you? They'll never go over their own style. If younger fans who never saw you play, who would you compare your playing style to? What kind of current player?
In today's game?
Yeah.
That's a really good question. You know that, because the reason I say it's a good question, I don't think there's, I mean, maybe to go back, I was a penalty box player, so all I wanted to do was score goals. I didn't want to take more than two touches, control it, lay off, spin, get in the box. That's all I wanted to do. And if you look at the modern day strikers, they were wee boys, now they're not brought up to be that way. It's all about doing this run, doing that run, take four touches, set, and they never get in the box. And most clubs only play with one striker as well. So it's a really difficult question. Guy who just retired recently, Chris Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
I would maybe say, because he, to me, out and out goal scorer, really good at what he'd done, made a great career for himself, and get continually criticised for not doing enough. And I'm thinking, you know, over 250 goals or something, and umpteen medals, and played for Scotland. How is that not enough? So Chris Boyd would probably be the one.
I think you're doing a slight disservice, because especially when you were younger, you were quick. I mean, you were fast.
I was, yeah, I was. But the surgeon shouldn't took that out of me. he did.
You'll know me, that chucks at the bin.
I got three operations in my time at Aberdeen, and after my third one, I'd three by the time I was 19. And that was sort of for 60 to 19. Probably missed a year and a half of football. Anyway. And at the end of the third operation, I remember the surgeon coming out of the room, and he's saying, can you do anything else apart from play football?
what were the three body parts saying? What were the reasons for the surgery?
Three bits of my knee.
Yeah.
Three bits of my right knee.
Cartilage or ligament?
It was worse. It was bone that kept breaking off round the joint, so it was weakening the whole joint.
Yeah.
And after the third one, and it came float, it's called a floater, so you'd float in bits of bone, it would get in your joints and your leg would give way. Common injury, but I was getting them all the time. And I says, as I burst into tears, what are you talking about? He says, well, I thought you should play on, son. Your knee is this, that and the other. So anyway, he went away, your family came in, tried to console you and all that. And then gets down to Pittodrie eventually, and again, Fergie, you know, I can't remember the exact words, but it was more or less a case of, don't bloody listen to him, just bloody run it off, get training, get running, and you'll be alright. So I'm thinking, it must be then, if he says, because to me, that's the gospel. And each time I came back, then my rehab, for what it was worth then as well, got back in, and luckily my last couple of years was injury free. But yeah, almost at 19 I was told, and you're right, I was quick again, but then we're having all those operations. I mean, I could race John Hewitt, Eric Black, the great Aberdeen strikers, they were so quick, I could beat them. But when that started happening, you lose half a yard. But I think where Fergie again knew, I was intelligent enough to know, well, you don't have to be quick, because if you play in the penalty box around about the 12 yard box, I don't have to sprint anybody, I have to outthink the defenders. So I would always play in shoulders, half hanging in, half hanging out of the offside position, and make sure that when the ball came in the box, you run about the sort of 6-12 yards, because ultimately you'll get a good chance to score. So I figured then, you don't have to run, just stand in the box. And that's how my career developed in.
The unfortunate side is the three injuries, the surgeries, they've taken a toll on you now. You've got a very unique gait.
Yes.
Because of it.
Yes, the John Wayne walk.
Yes.
As if I just came off the horse, yes.
Badge of honour, I suppose.
Well, I wouldn't swap it. I wouldn't change anything for it. It's just that's the price you pay. I'll have to get two new knee joints. I know that will come at me, but I think it's a small price to pay.
Well, the story doesn't end there, certainly, with three surgeries, because you were part of the kind of glory years at Aberdeen.
Yep.
Not playing as much as you maybe wanted, but you were certainly playing one incredibly talented side.
Yep.
Medals won at Aberdeen?
Got a league medal and a driver cup medal, yeah. And managed to miss out everything else because of injury. even the cup winners' cup.
Did you get to go to Gotham?
Yeah, I was there. But I remember coming back again, it was April, and obviously the cup final was in May, and I'd just come back from another operation, my third operation. And on Fergie and Archie Knox are brilliant. You know, getting the best out of you but kidding you on at the same time. We're playing on Easter Road in a reserve game, and Archie says, right, boss is in the stand, he's looking to take whoever does well today going on the trip to Gothenburg. So you can imagine everybody's trying like bears. Beat Hibs 2-0, I scored twice and never went on the trip. They just knew I wasn't fit.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to contribute anything to that, but by the same token though, and I'm glad he'd done it, he put Stuart Kennedy on the bench, and Stuart had the worst knee injury I've ever seen in the semi-final against Varshai. I mean, a shocker an injury, which I'll not go into detail, but he was on the bench, he was never getting on.
It wasn't even a player, it was just stepping on the pitch, and it was just a misstep.
Fergie knew his two subs were going to be, and one of them was going to be John Hewitt.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it turned out he scores a winner. But no, listen, that football injury, I have no regret about that. You can't have any regrets. But yeah, just been part of all that, the players, the you know, going down to Hamden's, and twice I was spare man in a cup final. So nowadays there's seven subs. Yeah. I was 14th man twice in a Scottish Cup final, no medal. But listen, what can you do? That's what it was at the time.
At least Aberdeen didn't come back to haunt you during your time in the 85-86 season.
Well, you know he did.
I'm sure
you'll get to that.
So time was up effectively at Aberdeen. Time to move on.
Yep.
How did that come about?
I've got to start with Fergie again. We finished training one Friday. He'd offered me another 2-year contract, so I could have stayed for another 2 years. But I just got married, had my first daughter. I was looking for some money to obviously help with that. Fergie wasn't giving yet. He said, "No, I'm not getting any sign-on fee. We're giving you a £20 a week rise." And you think, now the basics were not all right. Where you made your money was in the bonuses. Fergie and Jim McLean were very clever. You'll get paid if you win, not if you get beat or draw. So anyway, so I said, no, I'm not signing. And then one Friday, I get a phone call at the house. Fergie again, you know, coming, right, you're going to Bloody Hibs. I want you to drive down to Bleakin. It was Bleakin, not Breakin. Bleakin. It's he's on Blackway. And I went, all right, and phone down. That was it. You'd gone to sign for Hibs. So my wife came in, I said, by the way, I think I'm getting punted to Hibs, and she's an Aberdonian girl, and she broke down crying, having to leave her home and all this. So anyway, I goes down and meets John Blackley and Tommy Craig. Best thing I've ever done. Honestly, went down to see them, agreed terms with them pretty quickly. Back up the road, got my boots, and away Monday morning, I think Monday, Tuesday, I was the guys at Easter Road, setting up my new career with them.
That's how quick it happens sometimes in football.
Really quick, yeah. Not just, and if you're happy with your terms, there wasn't a lot of money flying about then. But I thought, right, I'll get some money here. That's great. Get down, pick a house, make sure the wife's happy with the house and the location, and you can go and concentrate on your football, and that's how it happened.
No ill will to Aberdeen, how it ended?
Oh, none. That's a fantastic 6 years. I had 6 years there that that, you know, I'm so proud of being part of, and the people, and you know, the players, the manager, the staff, the fans. And also, to this day, I know a lot of people don't know this, I got a letter sent to Fergie to me after it. I don't think many people have got that, if any. And he laid out in really nice terms about you know, my contribution to the club and how my injuries didn't affect my attitude to training and playing and this, that and the other. So, and I've got that to this day, I've got it in a frame. And so I thought, you know, I must have done all right if he's sent that to me. But no, great club.
Yeah, I think people kind of think of him as a kind of ogre, but he's got a very kind of warm and gentlemanly side. He tries to treat people the right way, it seems from stories.
He does. But also that if he gets, you know, he got me at 13, so I'm impressionable. And he got all the other ones like Cooper, Hewitt, Black, Angus, Gunn, Bell. So he gets everybody that's impressionable. And for me, my background, which I'm not going to, came from, I thought, well, he's a father figure to me. And I loved the misery and the hairdryer treatment. I did. I loved all that. Not at the time, but aye. I loved that. I thought, he cares. He's passionate. And Fergie used to say, see, if I stop shouting at you, then start worrying. And I thought, right, I'll take that on board. A lot of young boys, didn't they? Fell by the wayside. So anyway, I went to Hibs then, and you know, Sloop, JB, and Tommy Craig, and yeah, that was the next part of my adventure.
Was it the hard sell they were giving you? Was it the kind of double glazing salesman, or was it genuinely, we want you at Hibs?
Genuinely want you at Hibs. John Blackley, I've got so much time for, and Tommy Craig, they were, when I first met them, I thought, all I thought was football. So when you come up, and what they sold me was Gordon Jury, jukebox. We've been on a wonderful career with, you know, Rangers, Scotland, Spurs and all that kind of stuff. And he said, look, we've got this young talent here. If we stick you up front with him, he'll do your running. You just get in the box and I'm sure we'll get goals and do all right. And in the main, that's how it turned out.
Well, you got goals, that's for certain. Shall we set the scene then?
Go on.
So when you moved to Hibs, the UK number one at the time, it was Madonna and Into the Groove.
Okay.
The number one film in the box office, Back to the Future.
Right, yeah.
It's a good film.
Yeah, it was. Good song, good film.
Yep.
You're doing well so far.
I was listening to 80s radio coming up here just to get in the mood. So the squad that you joined, some names that people probably know. Alan Sneddon, he of the permanent moustache.
Snoddy, ex-Celtic, good player.
Alan Ruff.
Legend.
Everybody knows Alan Ruff. Brian Rice moved just before
he did. Chipper, yeah.
Yep. Alan Brazil,
most underrated Hibs player of all time.
You also had a very young Paul Kane.
Kane, great midfielder. Yeah.
Great when he played for Aberdeen as
well. Yeah.
Gordon Hunter.
Jeebs.
You talked about jukebox.
Mm-hmm.
Joe McBride.
Yeah, good left foot.
Here's a name. Still playing as of last season. Danny Lennon.
Danny, yeah, just a young boy then.
Yep, Eddie May.
Yeah.
Ian Munro. And another name. John Collins.
Nah, John, different class.
And a Hibs legend and Mickey Weir as well.
Be Mickey, yeah.
So it's a talented squad that you're moving into. How did you settle in?
Pretty easy. It was, you know, I'm one of those guys that I'm low maintenance, very easy for me. We got the house very quickly, which was great, so I knew the family was fine, so I can concentrate on the football. The guys were great, and the training was brilliant. It was just, you know, up my street in terms of what you would want for a striker, crossing and finishing and shooting and, you know, wee drills and all this kind of stuff.
Here's a question for you. See, when a new manager comes in, mm-hmm. and you say, oh, how's it now? They go, oh, the training's great.
Mm-hmm.
What happened from the previous manager for the training to kind of slide away for them not to enjoy it? Is it the drills are still the same, but the kind of morale is dipped?
Well, I can only talk for experience when John Blackley left and Alec Miller came in, if that's what you're
I'm just in general.
I can give you an example. When Alec Miller came in, and for me, the training all changed, and he was looking for different things from a striker. Whereas with Fergie, I knew exactly what he wanted, and it was to my strengths. With John Blackley Hibbs, I knew what he wanted to my strengths. But Alec Miller, I knew what he wanted, but it wasn't to my strengths. He was wanting a more, I suppose, maybe it was football changing, you know, strikers running up and down and doing this and doing that and doing another thing and everything apart from scoring goals. I thought, even the training, I thought, well, no, that's not me. So that's how you can get disenchanted with your manager.
Yeah. So we'll jump in. We'll go run through the league first, shall we?
Yes.
There's two cup runs as well. So started off
at Pittodrie, that came out to haunt me.
3-0 Aberdeen, which seems like a recurring.
It is. It's a score I couldn't get away from, but yeah, up there, spanked 3-0. There you go. But they were still the best team in the country.
Did you hear about it? Because it's all your pals still there. It's all the Aberdeen players. Were you getting grief during the game, after the game?
No, the guys were. I wasn't pal with any of them, so it didn't really matter. Wasn't it? You know, it was just a case of you're now playing a different strip. You have to get on with it. You've got, you know, different objectives to try and meet. So that was fine, but I knew if we got in for that game, it'd be a miracle, because they were still the best team in the country.
Making your debut against Miller and McLeish is never going to be an easy task.
No, but I'd trained against them every day, so I knew what I was getting. I knew I was getting kicked, punched, poked, gouged, abused. I've got every day since I was 16, so that made no difference to me. That didn't faze me.
Were they as good as everybody remembers?
Better. You had to train against them every day to realise, well, what these guys were all about. And that's why Aberdeen was successful, because every day at training was a match day. People don't train like that nowadays, and they forget about that. You ask any of the boys, they'll tell you, every day was a match day because of Fergie. I mean, I got another knee injury, it'll be a 3 months torn knee ligaments. Alan McLeish came right through the back of me before a game against Rangers. Nothing said. It was a case of, how did you not get out of the way of the tackle? It was all that, the fights we've seen, punches thrown, people rolling about. That's what made it easy to go to a Saturday to Ibis or Parkhead, because everybody was already geared up. You'd played four games during the week and you were ready, because Friday was a bit more calm, although the five-a-sides was still meaty on a Friday, because nobody wanted to get beat. Everybody go home, I'd go home crying if I get beat at five-a-sides, I think. And if you'd Fergie in your team,
just going to say that,
you'd be running, and then you'd be greeting him. It was just, so got to play them in that game for me was, well, I know these guys, I know what I'm going to get, no surprise.
I can get a picture of what you're saying, because I watched Rangers training at Jordan Hill when I was a student there, and McCoys would count all the goals he's scoring in training, mm-hmm. and he would tell everybody, all he loved to do was play and score goals, mm-hmm. even though it's training, it was...
I can imagine, yeah. McCoys said, that's a hat trick, that's four, that's five. And that's winding that all everybody else up, like the Richard Goff's not, so they kick him even more. And I did that to Miller and McLeish. That's seven I've got now. No, it's not boom.
You get past Miller and McLeish and you get Leighton there as well in goals.
That's just star quality everywhere. So, yeah, but to me that was a free hit. Nothing happening there, and it was trying to focus on what was coming ahead.
Well, the next game was Rangers at Easter Road.
Beat 2-1.
3-1.
3-1, no thanks.
Jukebox scored.
Yeah.
After that, a trip to your old team. Oh no, old team at Easter Road, St Mirren. Kane and McBride, you lost 3-2 in that one. It's not a good start.
We lost our first six, didn't we?
Yeah, bad start. Mm-hmm. Then.
The League Cup was my saviour.
Yeah, it was. next game is away to Hearts. Mm-hmm. To be honest, it's a tough opening start to the season. Aberdeen Rangers, St Mirren were a good team. Hearts in the derby, 2-1, jukebox again. Then Celtic, Easter Road, 5-0 this time.
Just a five.
And then Dundee away, lost 1-0. But it turns in the league. There's a wee break when it turns in the league, 28th of December. At home to Motherwell, 1-0 win. Brazil scores. Then, poor Clyde Bank. Poor Clyde Bank. Cowan with a hat-trick. Jury with two. I think this was a Wednesday night against Clyde Bank. 5-0 win.
It was. I remember that because Slope gave us 2 days off. He said, if you win the game, you don't have to come back until the Friday morning. So the motivation was great.
Could imagine. Then Dundee United, 2 each, which is a good result against Tannadice.
Yeah.
Cowan and Sneddon. His name Cowan keeps cropping up, you'll find as we go through the season. Then Aberdeen at Easter Road, and it's 1 each, and you score, Cowan in the score sheet.
I do, yeah. Outjump Mother and McLeish, if you watch, it's a header, and I outjump both of them. So I knew what I was getting into. So if you could get in front of them, you've got a chance.
Who crossed it?
Brazil.
What did you like? Did you like driven crosses, or do you like the big long looping ones coming in?
Anything. Just drop it into the box and we'll deal with it. I should tell everybody, so I'll tell that to, you know, coaching young boys today, drop it in there and let the strikers deal with it. It's up to them. Their skills and talents are then to deal with whatever ball comes in the box, because you can't always have the perfect cross. So just put it in and I'll worry about that. Thank you very much.
Would you be frustrated nowadays with inverted wingers on the wrong foot, so they can cut in and shoot rather than getting the ball into the box first chance they get?
I would be, but I'd be more frustrated because you don't play with two up front nowadays. Most teams play with a one and maybe one sitting off, or a three, two sort of, as you say, inside to out and out to in. So, but I always liked, because my training with Fergie again was always working with your striker. So working with a Mark McGee or a John Hewitt or a Frank McDougal, so you always worked. You used to say, don't be more than 5 yards apart. That's how you would work, you'd play like that. And I don't think they get training like that anymore, or it just doesn't seem to be an art in the game anymore. And it's lost, because if you have two guys, you can occupy a whole back four, if you're doing it properly. We hunt for the front, but also as well, if you're two different runs, then centre-halves are thinking, hold on a second, that's two runs happening, one short, one long, where do we go? And it causes confusion, but that's gone.
Football's quite cyclical though. A team will start doing well playing a 4-4-2, and then suddenly everybody will start copying them and it'll maybe come back into fashion.
If a Champions League team wins the Champions League with a 4-4-2, then you're right, it'll probably come back.
Yeah. So we go away to Rangers, Ibrox, 19th of October, and it's a win. Harris and an own goal, which is a good result.
Mm-hmm.
And then Clyde Bank.
Again, the Bankies.
4-2. Cowan with two. Kane in Brazil.
4-2 at Kilbowie?
At Kilbowie, yeah.
I thought I got a hat-trick that day.
Anyway. Well, you need to speak to him.
No, it's two, you're right. It's two.
I speak to Kane in Brazil to get the goal back for. Dundee, then a win again. So that's, what's the result? What's that, seven undefeated?
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. Kane and Jury scoring against Dundee. Derby against Hearts in November, 0-0. Then St Mirren, coming back to haunt your old club. Cowan, Kane and Sneddon, 3-1 at Love Street.
Mm-hmm.
Great little ground.
Yeah.
Miss Love Street. And then 23rd of November, away to Celtic, 1 each.
Okay.
What was the attendance at Celtic? Have a guess.
36,000.
21,000.
Yeah, I knew it would be high.
It's all going to be about 25. Where do these extra 45,000 fans come from? That's what I want to know.
That's when Celtic and Rangers were going through bad times. I mean, did Rangers not eventually have somewhere, was it not 11,000 at Ibrox one time? So that's what I'm saying. Aberdeen, then Dundee United were the two best teams in the country. Celtic and Rangers at that time, until Souness came, were going through a bad time.
Possibly tax dodging as well. Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. Allegedly. But losing games, more importantly.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. And it's one of those top teams you played next, Aberdeen, 4-0 away. You didn't have a good run against Aberdeen when you came back with Hibs.
Aberdeen had a ticket.
Yeah.
They really did.
Then Joe Tortolano scored against Rangers in a draw.
Mm-hmm.
Bad spell coming up. Lost to Hearts. Lost to Clyde. How did you lose to Clyde Bank? Lost to Clyde Bank with yourself scoring. Lost to Dundee. Then a draw with Celtic, 2 each. Cowan and Jury.
I remember that, yeah.
Beat Motherwell 4-0 in February. Cowan with 2. Collins, own goal. Lost to Dundee United 4-0. Lost to Aberdeen 1-0. Lost to Dundee United 1-0. Lost to Rangers 3-1. Cowan.
Ibrox, yeah.
Yep. And then St Mirren, St Mirren, Cowan hat-trick.
I remember that Jim Shute was in goal then.
That season, Cowan hat-trick was a popular phrase.
Well, I got three, and I think I'm still the last Hibs player to score three hat-tricks in a season.
That's amazing when you consider
34 years.
Some of the players that have came through. Clyde Bank, poor old Clyde Bank, 3-1. Tortolano, 2. I lost to Motherwell. I lost to Hearts, 2-1. We scored in Derby though. What's it like playing in the Edinburgh Derby, particularly in the 80s?
To me, it was just another game. Because not being from Edinburgh, I wasn't getting caught up in all the, you know, the tribal stuff that was going on, and because I felt I'd played in bigger games with Aberdeen, to me it was just 3 points is 3 points. So I didn't see it as any great thing that had to be played in, or I'd have loved to have won one. I think I had 7 appearances, no wins. I think it's 4 draws and 3 defeats, something like that. But no, I thought I'd played in bigger games, so. But for the local boys, clearly they get caught up in all about the families, and I get that, understand that, but I was never that way.
Could you see it in them? Could you see a change in them on the pitch, maybe doing things they wouldn't normally do?
Nah, not really. No, I just think the build-up to before that was a lot of chatter, you know, a lot of people talking about it, and scramble for tickets and this and that and the other, and, but no, to be fair, like the Kanos and the Mickey Weirs and all that, they never changed and went about their ways. That Hearts team, as you know, was a right good Hearts team that nearly won the double. So, you know, not underestimated, they weren't any mugs.
Yep. So we moved on, won against it, man. I think you did a clean sweep against it, man.
I thought we kept us up.
And Clyde Bank as well, yeah. Well, won against Dundee, and then season finished off with a loss to Celtic, a loss to Motherwell with yourself scoring, and I lost to Dundee United last game with yourself scoring a penalty. Were you the penalty taker for Hibs, yeah?
Well, as a striker, you want to take everything. So, as soon as there's a penalty, I'll take it. It's a chance to score a goal. Could be greedy.
Never any doubts cross your mind? I'm not taking it today, no. I'm not feeling right.
No, always a free-hitted goal for 12 yards.
Did you say to the manager, I'm taking the penalties?
Yeah. Well, I think it was who wants to take the penalties and whoever got their hand up quickest. So every club I went to, they've had a chance to take the penalties. Didn't at Aberdeen, clearly, there was a whole queue in front of me. But I just think it's a free-hitted goal. If you get a goal, you feel good about yourself, and away you go.
Where was your place at? Where was your favourite spot?
Probably always low to the goalkeeper's left, if I'm facing the goal that way. Low to the goalkeeper's left. A goal with a sort of false run, you think they're going to bend it away. Because I've talked to goalkeepers about that, and they always thought I was going to bend it away. But I would always try and go nice, as close to the post as possible, which is giving yourself a bit of a risk. That's what I would try and do.
Was there a keeper you worried about when it came at penalty? Somebody that was always a good shot stopper, and you always thought, I'm concentrating here?
I thought I played with the best goalkeeper in Jim Leighton, and didn't get a chance to take a penalty against Jim, unfortunately, but everybody else was just a goalkeeper.
Fair striker mentality there. Shall we move on to the League Cup?
Mm-hmm.
So this was a good run in the League Cup. It started against Cowdenbeath with a 6-0 win.
Yeah.
Cowan with a hat-trick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently.
And my first goal, Sir Hibs.
Yep.
Yep.
Is it that little bit special to score your first goal? Is it that little bit more memorable?
Yeah, pressure's off. You're under pressure. Because I'd obviously come down there. They'd bought me for Aberdeen back in the day. I think it was about 50 grand. Nothing nowadays, but I think it was a few quid back then. So you're under pressure to score, and if you've got the number 9 jersey on, you're going to have to score a goal. So to me, that was just getting the first one, remember it. So we left footer across the goalie, takes the pressure off, and then you can start enjoying. Not enjoying, that's wrong, because you never enjoy, and nobody enjoys until it's done. But you could then think, well, I can afford to then miss a couple because you've now got off and running.
So when you're talking about pressure, you've got the manager because he brought you in.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the fans, because the fans are the customers. They're the guys that will love you or hate you. But it's also the players as well, because the players are thinking, oh, is this guy a dud? If they don't rate you, they're not going to pass you the ball. They're going to look somewhere else.
Well, it was even more pressure than that, would you believe? Because, you know, speak to Kano and wee Mickey nowadays, because I was only 22 when I went to Hibs. But they viewed me as somebody who'd been playing in the Premier League for about 30 years. They thought, this experienced guy, he's done this, done that, won this, won that. But I was still only 22. I wasn't much older than them, but I was viewed as an experienced player in the team. So that was even more pressure, because you're then thinking, well, if he's done it up there with Fergie, how's he not doing it with us? So it brings that added pressure.
Yeah. The week after that, it's Motherwell and the goals kept coming as well. 6-1 this time.
Mm-hmm.
Jury with a hat-trick.
Yep.
Cowan with two and McBride.
Yep.
Did you form that partnership with Jury right away?
Straight away.
Yeah.
And just look back, you know, I said how John Blackley described it. He'll do your running. You hold it up, blink, get goals. And that's what it was. I mean, so you're under pressure, just put it in the channels, off went jukebox. He'll beat anybody. I mean, once gave Alec McLeish 10 yards at a game at Easter Road and beat him, that's how quick or how slow Alec McLeish was. but jukebox could run. And he'd get the ball, and it would be simple. Knock it to Joe McBride, knock it to Mickey Weir, get in the box. It was pretty simple football. Get it, wide, cross, finish.
Is that what a good partnership is? Just knowing what your yeah. role is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd go for the ball, so I was quite good in there. So jukebox was run behind me for the flick-ons. Just run. Just gamble every time. Might not win every time, which you don't, but you'll gamble, you'll get enough opportunities going that way with me flicking it on. And also as well, if there's a ball played into the corner, I knew jukebox would get there, so I would get to the box and just wait for him to either get it in himself or lay it off to somebody. So we got up pretty quick. That's pretty simple football.
If things don't work out the way that they're meant to, like you're starting off with the club, you're learning how the tactics are, etc. You're learning the players, and you've got other players bellowing at you because you don't. Nobody's taken away quietly at a throw-in and say, listen, you're getting abused. To do you guys have to develop very thick skin when you've got a centre-half shouting abuse at you from 20 yards away because the throw-in wasn't correct?
Oh, you have to have a thick skin when you walk into a professional football dressing room for 16 for a kick-off. But, you know, very quickly, anybody shout at you, they get told in no uncertain terms where to go and how quickly to go and told to do their own job. Oh yeah, and then at half time you'd all sort of things at half time. There'd be a few scrapes at half time, but that cleared the air, got the bad blood away, and out you went, because you had the same goal to win the game.
Do you always have at least one player in the squad that just likes moaning and you end up just ignoring them?
Well, if you take Aberdeen, it was Wally Muller. It was always Wally, because Wally was refereeing the games, refereeing us. He was Fergie's conduit in the park, so he always got it. But the rest of them all done it. I mean, that was, you know, McLeish then done it, then McMaster would come in and do it. McGee then would go to Strachan. So you'd have all queue of people, and it just actually went in there and back out there. Unless it was something constructive, like if you take the ball in and do this and do that. And it has. I think Gordon Ray was probably the most vocal. He was the captain. I thought Gordon was a good captain. I thought he tried to help people.
Well, the good form continues in the League Cup, because you take on Celtic with a crowd of 15,000 at Parkhead.
No, Easter Road.
Was it? Was Easter Road?
Four each.
It was four each.
And penalties.
Went to penalties. Mm-hmm. Jury with two, Cowan and Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Were you one of the penalty takers in the shootout?
Number six, I scored the winning penalty.
Really? So you weren't one of the first five?
No, because I think Sloop had already his penalty takers in mind, and it was like Gordon Ray, Ali Brazil, and all that. And I remember, so I went to the side, so I undone my boots. So I'm thinking, we'll win this, no problem. And I think Gordon had a chance to win it, missed it. Then Benny had a chance to win it, missed it, and Sloop nudges me and says, you better get your boots tied up because you're next, by the way. And I've got to say, I had a right big bit of apprehension and I'm thinking, well, if I'm the new guy that misses the penalty and puts us out the cup, thanks very much. But then your other part of your body's telling you, go and score the winning penalty. So I remember, so I goes on, and I remember running up, and I just thought, you know, I told you about where I went to put my penalties. I thought, I'm blasting this as hard as I could. And I just put my head down, blast, right in the middle, scores. So I thought, that's the pressure half of me, over to you. And then Pierce O'Leary went up for Celtic, if you remember him, the big centre-half, David O'Leary's brother.
Yep.
Right over the bar. So I was lucky, I was a winning penalty.
And then you had to face the other half of the Old Firm and the semis. It was two leg semis at this point.
Yep.
Easter Road 2-0, Chisholm and Jury.
Yep.
What do you remember about that match?
I think it was it not Chizzy's first game? I think it was Chizzy's debut, if I remember rightly. Scores a header at the back post. Jukebox gets an obligatory goal, but we knew that wasn't the one because we got to go for Ibrox in. But we thought 2-0 was reasonable. And then went to Ibrox and get absolutely battered. David Cooper, the great late David Cooper, he hits a free kick. And it's one of those ones that sounds, you had to win the park at the time. He hits it for about 40 yards. Goes right in the top corner. And it was a wet night. And you hear it hitting the net, you hear it going, and the rain going, shh.
Yeah.
And then the crowd going, ah. And they were all over us that night. And how we get out there with a 1-0, I'll never know.
Yeah.
Never know. But Coop, what a free kick.
I always remember that free kick against Aberdeen in the Scull Cup final. And Leighton didn't even move.
Well, Jim's still diving. The ball was, they were taking the ball up to take the centre hit, and Jim's. What a free kick. But Coop had that. He was a brilliant player. Could do that, Jay.
The form that he was in at that point, he near enough single-handedly qualified Scotland for the
World Cup.
The World Cup in 86, because he scored the penalty against Wales.
That's right.
And then it was a virtuoso performance at Hampden against Australia in the playoff game.
Nah, what a player.
Well, great player. So it's the final, October 27th. Now, I remember watching this. I was young, but I definitely remember watching this. And it was it wasn't the best basically for Hibs, but it's a tough. If you I'll read it, the Aberdeen team: Leighton, McKimmy, Mitchell, Stark, McLeish, Miller, Black, Simpson, McDougall, Cooper, Hewitt.
Best team in the country. And we get them in October, which is different for the League Cup nowadays. So you've got them still hot at the start of the season. The start killed us 2-0 down 11 minutes. Big Starkey. What a wonderful player scores, and Eric Black scores, and we just never really got off and running in that game, which was a disappointment. I think we did a couple of not even half chances. We sort of run about the edge of the box and stuff like that. But an Aberdeen Fairgate was clever. He went to three centre halves that day, went McLeish, Miller, and Mitchell against me in jukebox, best team won, no complaints.
Paul Cain played in that game. He must have been pretty young to be starting a final.
Well, he must have been just a bit. Well, Keener would have been 18, maybe. Yeah. John Collins came off the bench at 17.
He did indeed, yeah. So, you had a run in the Scottish Cup as well.
Aye, and how did our run finish?
Well, let's go to the start. Dunfermline.
Aye.
Easter Road.
Yep.
Cowan in May.
Yeah, Sunday game.
And then Ayr United.
Mm-hmm.
1-0. May scored in that as well. And then Celtic, and you beat Celtic again.
4-3. Easter Road, yeah.
Cowan, one of them were apparently two goals. Chisholm and May.
What a game, yeah.
So you certainly punched above your weight when it came to the Old Firm at that point. Big clubs, maybe not as good as they were, but they're still big clubs.
Well, they were, and if you know, I mentioned David Cooper, but then you had Mo Johnson, Brian McClair, Alan McCoist. You know, still great players, but as a team, yeah, you're right, they were off the pace.
So the semi-final was Hampden, Aberdeen.
No, Dens Park.
Oh, it was, it's right, sorry, yeah, it was.
Just where my memory stopped working, eh?
I'm so used to Hampden always being there.
Dens Park we went to. What was the score?
I think it was 3-0.
What have we heard that before?
What was the score in the final?
3-0.
It was just Aberdeen that season.
I mean, just a monster team, and again we went up there, you play that, and in Dens Park, my time at Aberdeen was a right good place for us to go. Aberdeen done well there, so again, listen, no complaints, best team won that as well. And that was the sad thing about that was after the game, John Blackley blew up at jukebox because he felt jukebox didn't pull his weight because it was all chalky Chelsea at that time. I thought Sloot was wrong. I don't think jukebox got his head turned, we just didn't get a chance to play. And I've never seen John Blackley so angry in a dressing room. Oh, he went to town, went to jukebox. I don't know if jukebox ever played again after that, but
wow. Well, you also had that situation at Aberdeen as well, because it was Stark, Black and Miller that scored, and in the final it was Hewitt
and Stark.
There was no Eric Black. because Eric Black
went to Mets,
and Fergie wasn't happy with him about that.
Fergie wasn't happy when anybody left unless Fergie wanted them to leave. That was the problem. Yeah. He was like Gordon Stratton, the same problem when he went to Germany and then ended up at Man United. Dougie Roofy went to Chelsea, and Fergie blew up every time. Used to get us all together and tell us how they were failures, how they were no ambitious, and not in those words, but in a lot stronger terms. And he used to just bring everybody together. I remember when Frank McGarvey tried to sign Frank, and Frank chose Celtic. Fergie blew up. He got us all together, the whole club, and went on one. But I tell you what, galvanised the whole place to say, we're going to go to Celtic Park and we're going to beat them, and he'll win name medals with them. That's brilliant.
He's a master. You famously had Archie Knox left him to go to Rangers to be the assistant there. And again,
that was the second time he left them.
Yeah. So the final table, Celtic finished first in one of the best finishes to a season ever, right up there with the Aberdeen Rangers game in the 90s.
Yep.
Hearts second, crushingly for them.
Yep.
You can't help but feel a bit sorry because they lost the cup final as well.
Don't feel sorry one little bit, but there you go.
United third, Aberdeen fourth, but unbelievably. Rangers fifth, Dundee sixth, St Mirren seventh, Hibs finished eighth, 28 points. 49 goals scored though, which was probably the saviour, because Motherwell and Clyde Bank only scored 33 and 29, finished below. And how many goals did Mr Cowan finish with for the season?
28 for the whole season.
That's all competitions?
All competitions, 19 for the league.
Can you remember who was the top scorer in the league?
McCoist.
Aye, 24.
But it wasn't top in Scotland, though.
No. And did either of the two top goal scorers in Scotland go to the World Cup finals that year?
No. Listen, I wasn't good enough to play for Scotland. I knew where my limitations lay.
Well, you're up now. You're good enough to play for Scotland.
If you look at it now, anybody can get a game. And the last 20 years have proved that. You score a couple of goals, all of a sudden, you're Scotland material. But listen, there was Graham Sharp, there was Mo Johnson. There was obviously Coisty.
I think Archie went, did he?
Archibald. Yeah. And there was somebody else. But anyway,
you get Speedy.
All these guys, they're playing in England.
Aye.
And winning cups and leagues. And so, listen, the only thing I think, if it had been a different manager other than Fergie, because Fergie sold me that summer in 85, so I'm finished as top scorer in 86, would Fergie have swallowed his pride to bring me along as a top scorer after selling me? What does it say about him?
I think Fergie,
it's always a question I've got in my mind.
I think he definitely came out and said that he was wary about picking too many Aberdeen players in case it looked like favouritism.
About with Simpson?
There still could have been that link. I think he wanted to have. You look at that Scotland squad and you could pick a few Aberdeen players that maybe should have been in there, and I think he was quite wary about it. But if McCoist didn't go, McDougall didn't go, it's not as if you can feel too.
Oh, I don't. I just think, because knowing Fergie as well as I know him, I've read his books and his DVDs and all that kind of stuff, and it tells one part of the story, doesn't tell the other part. I don't think I was good enough to get there anyway. But you just think, in today's environment, you score 28 goals, you're going to a World Cup. Okay, but anybody says you're going to the World Cup, you score 10 goals nowadays. Somewhere in Scotland, you go to the World Cup. That's the difference.
You don't score any goals for Scotland at all.
You go to the World Cup.
You get signed for £20 million.
Exactly.
Well, let's look at the awards and the player awards for the season. Do you know who got the Footballer of the Year? The Sports Writers Player of the Year?
Miller?
Close. Another elder statesman at that time, playing for Hearts.
Robbo?
Sandy Jardine.
Sandy Jardine, all right.
You would have played against Sandy. How good was Sandy? Because he was about 35, 36 at the time.
His positional sense was brilliant. He just moved and the ball seemed to go to him. And never seen him flapping. Always relaxed and calm. Right, good player.
Because we've got the situation in Scotland, we've got Tierney and Robertson at left back, And in the 70s in Scotland, we had a situation at right back because Jardine and
McGrain
were both good right backs.
Yeah, well, I think Danny could probably play better with his 2 feet than maybe Sandy, if I'm on right, Sandy was mid right. And with the two left backs you've got now, I think it's a ridiculous situation. I don't think you can play the two of them. Tierney's not set in half, never in a million years. So you had to play one or the other, and the other one goes on the bench. Simple as. That's where we've got any problems, trying to fit people in, I think. But you play, I think Robertson has to play first for what he's done. Mm-hmm. He's won everything in the European stage. Tierney's your backup if you ever need him.
And the Players' Player of the Year, you might have voted in this, actually.
Probably did vote.
A certain South African by way of Sweden.
Goff?
Yes.
Best centre-half I played against.
I think he was playing right back at the time, do you know that, with Dundee United?
What a defender he was. What a defender. Had everything, pace, strength, aggression, good in the air.
Well, that goal against England and when he was
8'5", yeah.
8 feet in the air, that was a...
What a guy.
Young Player of the Year. He played at Hearts. Centre-half.
Gary Mackay? Craig Levein?
Craig Levein. I think he won that a couple of times, you know. Mm-hmm. It was like Levein.
Yeah, another great centre half.
Yeah. Tough to play against.
Oh aye. Very physical. Aggressive. You just knew you were getting into a dogfight. If you weren't prepared to battle him, you would lose every time.
So how do you feel we've covered the 85-86 season? Is there anything else in there that we haven't touched upon that you'd want to add? Any notable moments?
No, I think that covers, I think, the season in terms of, you know, what I did and where we were and the players that were there. And it's always for me a memorable season because of, you know, I would say I only had to do it once, so I was top scorer once, which was great. I was lucky enough to win the Hibs Player of the Year. You talk about awards, mm-hmm. So I was overall Hibs Player of the Year, which, I treasure as well. And again, you know, playing with some players like John Collins, Gordon Jury. You know, what they went on to achieve in the game as well. I always find myself lucky that I've been involved in John Blackley, obviously Scotland International. Mm-hmm. With Tommy, I don't know if Tommy played a full Scotland cap, but you're certainly in the 21-23. So to meet all those people after you've been so long with Aberdeen, with all those great people there, that was great for me. Another sort of 3 years of my career there.
It was an important season in Scottish football because, as you saw with you getting the better of the Old Firm on so many occasions, it's maybe your last season that... A non-Glasgow club was able to challenge for the title because the Rangers revolution was underway with the chairman changing and then Souness coming in and all the money coming into Rangers and then Celtic started playing catch-up. Yep. I don't think the Old Firm were really ever challenged like that again, effectively.
No, they weren't. And it was actually over, if you look at it from 1980 till 85... You know, Aberdeen 3 titles, Dundee United 1 title. So that 5 year period, you know, Jim McLean, Alan Ferguson, deserve all the credit in the world for the players that both teams produced. You look at United, you know, Neary, Hegarty, Sturrock, you know, Dodds and Goff and Malpas. a fantastic team as well.
Mm, definitely. So you were, that was your best season, I would say, in terms of being at Hibs.
Yeah.
Tell us how the rest of your career went and then sum up how things moved on.
Yeah, well, I think, again, the injury jinx struck at Hibs. I got another knee operation. So that set me back. Alec Muller came in. As I explained earlier, I didn't really hit it off with Alec. I know he's a good coach. I talk to him fine nowadays, but just professionally, we didn't hit it off. Went over to Motherwell. Tommy McLean, great coach. Tommy, got to have a top man at Rangers when he's played. As well, so he was there with Tom Forsyth. Spent about 2.5-3 years there, then over to Portadown, Northern Ireland.
Were you at Motherwell during their cup success?
I was away by then.
Away by then.
Yeah, I went to Portadown, and again, it's one of the ones you think right place at right time. They'd never won any major trophies, so 2 league titles and an Irish Cup victory over there.
Let's point out that you are thought of as somewhat of a legend in those. Parts of the world.
Yes.
Well, you're revered still.
My record at Portadown was 130 goals in 145 games.
Not bad.
Decent. But again, you just walk into a team. It's funny how you think this clicks. So I had Sandy Fraser, who was released by Celtic. and I got on brilliant with him right away, and we had two wingers, like Hibs or Aberdeen, Weir, Strachan, you know, McBride, Brazil or Weir, and it was just get the ball, lay it off, get in the box, and away you go. And we were lucky, as I say, they'd never won a major trophy. They had this, the curse, they called it in Portland, this curse, the Gypsy curse. But we won the first league title, retained it the following year, won the double, and none of those feats have ever been achieved ever with the club again. So I feel fortunate to have been in the right place at the right time.
The football in over there is not as publicised as much as Scotland and England. Where would you say that the level of football was at that club? Is there a club in Scotland you could maybe compare them to, the level of football?
At the time, it was Championship. It wasn't the Premier League.
Okay.
Yeah, and you probably, if you're looking around now, maybe Dunfermline, United, sort of club like that. It was a decent standard, but clearly it wasn't the Premier League standard. It was enjoyable, and you know, to win some more trophies again, which was great. And I think I won the Northern Ireland Ulster Player of the Year as well when I was there. So yeah, I couldn't ask for any more.
And to point out, as two people that have watched a lot of Championship football, it is entertaining and it is good quality.
Definitely. It was good. And so then after that, but I'd had another operation again. I think it was in my sixth one now. So I was suffering. So I came back to Scotland, went to juniors, played a year with Linlithgow Rose. I think I scored about 20 odd goals with them. Went back to Ireland, but then my legs had totally gone. 6 or 7 games, Ballymena, Cliftonville. Came back to Scotland, my mate Dougie says, come to Elgin. I said, but Dougie, it's 3 hours to get to a game. He said, but come. keep me company in the car. Up to Elgin for 6 games, and then chucked it after that. I knew I couldn't have gone. So I was 32, so I'd got 16 years of my career.
Yeah.
With 6 knee operations and a torn knee ligament and a dislocated kneecap. So I thought, with all those injuries I had, I'd done all right.
So in your career, who would you say is the best player you played with and the best player you played against?
Quite easy. Best player I played with, Gordon Stratton. Gordon had everything for me. Dribble, pass, shoot. Could take a hit. Tough little guy. Nobody was going to intimidate him out of the game. Very vocal, quick. Had the physicality in terms of running up and down. He got him down quick, right? The good fitness. So Gordon, for me, had everything, and his career proved that. You know, Man United, Leeds, Scotland, all that. And Richard Goff, I said earlier on, best player. I mean, there was Coopers and all that, but directly against somebody was Richard Goff. He was the best defender, out with Alan McLeish and obviously Muller, that I'd played against.
All right, brilliant. Well, thank you very much for giving us your time, Stevie. It was greatly appreciated. That's us come to the end of the show. Thank you for listening to the inaugural episode of the CSI Football Podcast with our esteemed guest, Mr. Stevie Cowan, who you can listen to every week on...
Fourth One.
Please follow us on Twitter for details of the next episode, which should hopefully be coming out to you soon. Thank you very much, and good day.